with Jen and Kai for another episode of Tits and Teeth. All right, this needs to be said. It would have been 20 times more difficult to sit down with this legendary, always working, talented as all get out man if it wasn't for COVID-19 forcing us all to stay safely in our homes. So it's not ideal how our schedules ended up working out, but hey, we'll take it because Ricky Hines is our guest today. Ricky Hines! We were absolutely thrilled to speak with him. He's been a guest we've had in mind ever since the beginning of Tits and Teeth. Ricky is a New York-based director-choreographer who has been the associate choreographer on All Things Come From Away. We get the inside scoop on Ricky's newest venture, the Broadway revival of Company. Maybe we get a Patti LuPone story? You'll have to wait and see. He gives us great first-hand advice, encouraging us all to put ourselves out there and being a positive influence on our community. But before we throw it to Ricky, let's hear the tops and tails of the week with Jen and Kai.
It's the tops and tails of the week with Jen and Kyla.
Oh my God.
Tits and tea.
Hit it.
Hit it, don't quit it.
Oh. What was that?
I don't know. How is
I liked
your
it.
Week,
I
Kyla?
Liked it.
Tell me your week.
My week. All right. So my tops actually this week are that there have been small things in my life that I have been able to be competitive with. I miss being competitive. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. And so Dan and I are just doing workouts together. And the competitive thing in the workouts is just to me. I do not tell Dan that we're in a competition during these workouts. He has no idea. It's all in my own head. But I'm here for it. I'm doing like a puzzling competition again in my own head. I'm like, it's so silly. But and we did a trivia night on Monday. And I was like, whoa, baby. Here we go.
How'd you go? Did you win?
We did not win. We were middle of the pack. But again, I was like, here we go. This is a chance to get better. Let's do this again. We can win. So the competitive spirit came out this week. And as for tails, like I'm like you. I don't have tails this week. I'm safe and happy in my home. What more could you ask for?
Yeah.
So Jen. Yeah. Give me your tabs and tails.
Tabs and tails. Well, tails is, you know, in terms of tails, we are always grateful for what we have. I'm very lucky and very grateful. That being said, in my tails, I had a perfectly scheduled visit to Australia that I'm supposed to be there at the moment. And, you know, it was Mother's Day and people's birthdays and there was a wedding this week that I was a bridesmaid for and all of the things that can't happen. So shout out to all the brides out there who were supposed to get married during this time. So that's definitely the tails not being able to, not sure when I'll get to see my family next. But on the flip side of that, tops is definitely thank goodness for technology. You know, thank goodness for FaceTime. Thank goodness for my love-hate relationship with Zoom. Thank goodness for all of these online classes and ways that we're able to connect and still chat to each other. So definitely grateful for that. Namaste all day. That being said, let's throw it over to the most wonderful man, Mr. Ricky Hines.
Namaste.
Namaste, who happens to be available on his online classes and all the places and on this pod. So let's send it over to Ricky Hines. Take it away.
We are here with Ricky Hines. Thank you so much for being with us. To start out, we just wanted to check in. How are you? Where are you? What's your mood? Tell us.
I am feeling really good. I've just gotten out of a four-week quarantine in the Poconos with three bosom buddies.
And call them out. Yeah, no, who are they? Would that be Marjorie Filoni?
I was with Andrew Turteltaub and the one and only Miss Kelly Devine. Ironically, all of us have been her associates on some project or another. So it was a nice family. And now I'm with my other family in Connecticut. So with my sister, her husband, and my niece and nephew.
Amazing.
And everyone is healthy.
Good.
And happy and safe. And We're good. We're in a good place.
And so we always start every interview off with, what is your favorite musical and your dream show to direct slash choreograph?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. My favorite musical is Parade, the musical.
Mm. Fun.
And if I could get my hands on any show, it would be The Wiz.
Really cool. Cool, cool, cool.
Yes.
Those are new answers for us. I like that.
Love that music. I feel like my movement vocabulary lives in that world. And everyone loves The Wizard of Oz. So it's a slam dunk.
You're a bloody slam dunk, Ricky Hines, Richard J. Hines. So where do we even bloody start with you? As Jay Magis says, guys, Ricky Hines does it all. Yep, your choreo is fierce. You're a superb director. You are always so busy. I think the last time I ran into you in New York City, company was in previews and you were running across the street because you also associate Come From Away. And so they had put-ins. So we feel very lucky to have Ricky Hines.
Very kind. That's very kind.
So we obviously, our Canadian listeners are going to be dying to hear all things Come From Away. But we first would love to hear about Company. Can you please tell our listeners what your role is in that current production?
Yeah, so I am currently the associate choreographer for the Broadway revival of Company.
Woohoo!
And the show has started its journey over in London, where it did a limited engagement over there. And just talking about reaching for your goals, I saw the show. I loved it. The music director of Come From Away London knew the choreographer. So I asked him if he would feel comfortable giving me his email. So he did. His name is Liam Steele. And so I emailed Liam and I was like, hey, I saw your show in London. I think it's fantastic. If you need somebody in New York to help with you, the maintenance or taking care of the show, let me know. He reached out. We met when he was in New York for the auditions. We went and had lunch. And then he called me the next day and was like, I would love for you to come on board and do this with me.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was amazing. And it was fun to go into a project and not know anybody on the team, you know. So starting from scratch and building new friendships and relationships. And of course, going through what the world is going through now only made it that much more special because we bonded in a way that only you can in this particular climate.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun for me going into the show because they already had a strong foundation of what it was, but were very adamant that this would be its own version and that we weren't trying to replicate exactly what London was, which was sort of great for me because it allowed me to bring in different ideas to a show that, you know, Marion Elliott, our director, and Liam Steele, the choreographer, knew so well because it was, you know, new eyes seeing it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we were exactly a week and a half away from our official opening night when this went down. But we had a really lovely meeting with our producers, and they are on track. And as soon as doors start opening on Broadway, we are very confident that the doors at the Jacobs Theater will reopen to Company.
And
it's so nice. You were in previews. Like, you got to do performances, right? So you're, like, ready to go. You're ready to open.
I think, you know, a little rehearsal, little tech just to sort of dust it off and get everyone back on track. And then
ready
to go. Yeah.
Just dust it off.
Go in with a little rag and just wipe down the instruments.
And... A COVID-19 rag, you know? So it's it's a disinfect. Wipe. Yeah.
With a glove.
With a glove and a Lysol wipe. It's just...
I can't wait for that to officially open. What do you think that feeling is going to be like for that particular group of humans who got so close to opening night and never got to do it?
I mean, I think the same way it would feel for anyone that is going through this, whether that's on a high school level where that was, you know, your senior show you were going to do and it's been postponed, or on the level of a Broadway show. It's going to be the same for everyone as we get to get back to doing what we do. And people will be so hungry for that entertainment and that escapism and music, theater and straight plays and all of it. So that will be very exciting when that gets to happen. And yeah, you know, everyone has worked so hard. So to get it to the finish line will be
exciting.
Will be fantastic and exciting.
Can you tell our listeners why this particular revival of Company is different and important?
Marian Elliott, our director, when she got her hands on Company, she said, you know, her sort of mission with her theater company was to do works of art that really came from a woman's voice about highlighting women in theater in a leading role. So the concept for our revival is the character of Bobby, which is typically played by a man, has now been transformed to a woman. And I think that story is incredibly fascinating today, because I think in today's world, a man who is turning 35, who is single without kids, doesn't really feel like a big deal. But to see that from a woman's perspective, I think it means a totally different thing. And then they have also done some really fascinating things internally. There was a couple that they've now made two men.
Yeah. And then, oh my gosh, number is so good.
It's
oh
really
my goodness.
Awesome. Yeah. The incredible Matt Doyle singing I'm Not Getting Married Today is pretty fascinating. But the other thing she did, which I think was really incredible, was there are two other plot lines where what she did was she just flipped who is saying what lines, because what she didn't respond to was that it was these stay-at-home moms and then the men that were going out and sort of being the breadwinners. So the characters' names are exactly the same, but they are literally just saying each other's lines. So you see this strong African-American businesswoman who's coming home to her quirky husband, who's the stay-at-home dad playing with the kids. And I just think it makes the show feel incredibly relevant. And, you know, I think if you did not know what the show was previously, there is no reason for you not to come see it today and think it was written for right now, which I think is really fascinating.
Ricky, can you possibly like give us one Patti LuPone story then?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, this may not be particularly funny to your listeners, but what I do find fascinating about her is she has such respect for everybody in the building, no matter what department you're working on or what's happening. And every preview, we would all be sitting in the house after doing our tech notes. And she came down every single night and walked on stage to say goodnight and thank you, and was just so grateful for the work that everyone was doing. And, you know, the awareness that we would be there until like 1-2 in the morning, still trying to make the show be better and better and better. And it was just, I just thought it was really lovely. The other thing that's really amazing is that she has a fully stocked bar in her dressing room. And she has a lovely dresser named Jeannie. And we would be in tech, and it would be like coming up on 11 o'clock at night. We still had an hour. Everyone's sort of getting a little fatigued. And she would have Jeannie make gin and tonics for all of the creative team and just deliver them. So we would be staging a number, lighting, and all of a sudden Jeannie would come by and she's like, excuse me, this is a gin and tonic from Patti, a gin and tonic from Patti. And she would just be dropping gin and tonics off. That they ended up having to have one of the PAs literally walk around at the end of the night and pick up all the gin and tonic glasses that were left around the theater. So I am looking forward to getting back and having a Patti LuPone gin and tonic.
Yes. Perfect. That's what we needed. You're right, Kai. We needed at least one Patti LuPone story in that. And we got two. I feel blessed.
We did.
And it seems right that one of them would involve alcohol. It seems right.
Cheers, everybody. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Here we are.
Cheers.
Very good.
Well, let's take a little switch then into Come From Away, which you are also the associate on. Busy bee. Can you tell us how you got involved with Come From Away? Start there.
And then we can go. So Kelly Devine, who is the choreographer, her and I have known each other for many, 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 many years. We have worked on many awesome shows, and we've also worked on some really horrible projects together that we've had a good laugh about.
That's fantastic.
But she sent me this script. I mean, gosh, I guess this is like going on 4 or 5 years ago now. And said she was working on this show and to have a read and tell me, you know, if it felt like something that I would be interested in. And I remember reading it and calling her and saying, you know, I don't understand. Like, who are they talking to? You know, who are they having conversations with? Because it's all like they're just talking at the audience. I was like, is it like a lecture? Is it, you know, what is it? And she was like, no. And she sort of explained where the sort of idea was in the concept. I reread it and I was like, oh, I get it. I think. I mean, you don't know until you see it. But I was like, I think I get it.
Yeah.
And then she said, great. Well, you know, we're going to do a production at La Jolla. Do you want to come on board? I said, sure. At that point, all they had done was a table read and they had staged 15 minutes of the first plane sequence of 28 hours. But that was it. So nothing had really been created other than that 15 minutes of the show. So yeah, went out to La Jolla. We worked on it there. We then went to Seattle and continued to work on it there. We then went to Washington, D.C. and continued working on it there. We then went to Gander for a week and did a concert, which was incredible. You would have thought the Beatles had arrived in Gander. Then we went to Toronto and then finally made our journey to Broadway. And you know what was amazing through the whole experience? Our producers were so brilliant. And there was never – I've been very fortunate to work on shows that are big commercial shows. I've done a few shows with Disney. But the amazing thing about this was it was never about the money. It was never about Broadway. It was never about – none of those pressures were ever put on anybody in our team. It was always just make the show as great and amazing as you can, and we will give you every tool that you need to do that. And I think that that is very apparent in the piece, and I think that's why the piece is so successful, because it was never about doing it for the money and trying to – create something like that.
There's so much heart in that show.
Yeah.
It's so lovely.
Yeah. And I mean, to see how it's touched people, and I think it's doing everything it was intended to do. And it's amazing to see how it plays in Canada compared to seeing how it plays in New York. Now we have productions in London and Australia and the tour. And it's really amazing. I'm really fortunate to go and see every company.
Give us that perspective. What do you think? Like, do you feel a difference with the different audiences? Like,
absolutely. I mean, you know, the thing that's interesting, you know, when we opened in Toronto, all you had to do was say Tim Hortons and everyone's like, yeah! It's like, you know, we're like, isn't it just a coffee shop? Are we missing something? Like, what?
It is the coffee shop.
But I think what was amazing, and you guys would know more than I think the pride in it you feel every night in the Canadian audience, where you don't necessarily feel that in the other companies, but you feel other things.
Yeah.
But there is such a sense of community and pride. And not only did we create this show as, you know, with our writers, David and Irene being from Canada, but that it is a story about Canada and all of those pieces put together. I thought it was really interesting when we just did it in Australia, talking to that cast, because we, you know, every company we do, we always start with just a week of table work. And their perspective was so different because they woke up to the event being done.
Yeah, right? I remember.
The planes and the towers, that had all finished.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting hearing that perspective and talking them through that, you know, the minute by minute play of how it all timed out, because, you know, again, in their mind, they woke up and the event had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, different jokes play different. And it's amazing. And it's, of course, crazy to like go see the show in Australia and you're like, that woman is saying all the Beulah lines, she has the Beulah costume on, but it's a completely different Beulah from the Beulah that I literally saw 2 weeks ago in London, who was also in that same costume, also saying the same lines. It's like crazy Groundhog Day.
But it's great that you, like, you guys as the creatives aren't like, this is how you say the line exactly like this and you turn to the left. Like, you give each place the
flexibility,
thank you, to read it as they read it. So that's super
and it's cool. Been great because the show isn't necessary. I mean, now it's a different beast, but when we were starting our initial rollout, like, there wasn't a ton of content that was available for people to see online. It was really nice to go to these international communities to do the show. And it wasn't like they had seen the show 15 times that you naturally as an actor start to just do something that you had seen somebody do. It really was fresh. They knew no other version than the one they were creating, which was awesome.
Like, that musical is so beautiful. Do you think it's going to resonate with people even more after COVID-19?
I think 100%. It's been interesting. There have been some crazy things that have happened in our world throughout the journey of the show. You know, we went through the presidential election while the show was happening. We went through the Paris attacks happened on our first preview in Seattle, I think. And, you know, even though the story is specific around the 9/11 events, I think more than that, it's about human kindness, people coming together, community. And I think people are experiencing that right now and will be so desperate to see that kind of a story be told again on the stage as soon as we can.
As soon as we can. I mean, it's a beautiful reminder of just like, just as I was listening to you go through all of those different like major events, just kind of how Kyla and I have been talking to our guests recently, obviously, about how resilient we are as a community, how resilient we are as actors, but really as human beings. Like,
absolutely.
We truly are resilient, and something like a show or a theme with kindness and heart at the center of it, it's so important. And that's something that people are going to need more than ever.
And what's so amazing, even more so now, is that event, our show, is so specific to Gander, New York, and that event was so specific there. What we're living through right now is the entire world is all experiencing the same thing. So I think even more so, our story, especially as it's playing around the world, will feel a different impact because we're living, you know, in community right now. I mean, people are reaching out to people. I'm getting texts from people that I haven't talked to in years, but you finally press the slow down button on your life and you just let it all sort of cleanse out of your brain, and you're like, oh, you know what, I haven't talked to that person. And you start looking through pictures and reading a book and a journal and and it's amazing. It's amazing. I love getting random texts from people that, you know.
You mean like us being chicken. Like, hi, Ricky, we love you.
What do you like?
Wait a minute. Ricky Hines has a minute. No, but on the flip side of that, you're 100% right. It is, it's a, like as much as it's a, you know, upsetting and a tough time for everyone to go through, there we are continually trying to highlight the positives of this time. And I think that, you know, we can certainly reach out and connect with people that we care about is a real positive and a good takeaway from all of this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And an easy thing to do. A really easy thing to do. Just pick up
Ricky
your phone
Hines,
and send it
to you. We love you.
You're already on it.
Jeez. It's happening. It's happening.
Before we move on from Come From Away, I would love to know about Kelly Devine. You know, how has that woman influenced your life, mate?
I mean, you know, it's, I think there are a few experiences in life where you get to collaborate with someone like her, and we work so well together, and it's a real cohesive language that we speak. But beyond that, she is one of my best friends. So anytime we work together, it never actually feels like going to work. And we laugh all the time. And the amount of people that see pictures of us that are like, oh, are you guys a couple? Is that my grandmother is convinced that she is my girlfriend because she sees her in so many pictures. And I'm like, Nana, there's a couple of reasons why that won't work. but that's okay. This show for us was so incredible because, you know, going in, it can be anything you need it and want it to be. Mm-hmm. And we had worked on several versions of the opening number, and we were trying to like create something. And then we got into the room, and Kelly soon realized that what, you know, she had fabricated was not going to work. And it was amazing because we literally built the vocabulary on these actors, which I think is why people respond to the language of the vocabulary of dance in it, and also why the direction and choreography are so seamless in the show, because there's never that big dance moment. It is all coming from an actor-motivated experience. And through this journey, I think, you know, proud is an understatement from when we were sitting at the Olivier Awards and they called out her name and she won an Olivier.
Oh my gosh. And
I just cried and she went up and our eyes totally locked and she was so generous to give me a lovely shout out in her speech. And It was one of the best nights of my life. And we've had many of those amazing moments together, including sitting on a bus driving to Gander, drinking vodka.
Okay, so you run a fun open theater jazz class online. Guys will post it. You have to go do it. It's so much fun. Are you having fun with this new medium of teaching? And has it forced you to be very creative with your choreo?
Yes and yes. You know, I respect and understand this is the world we live in, so it needs to be that. You know, nothing for me beats the energy of like being in the room, and I like to treat my dance classes like a party, and that energy is hard to not necessarily have that around me, and you're like, yeah, let's go. Cricket. But I see the reaction I'm getting from it, and the people that are sending me messages and posts make me feel that I am able to contribute in some way to helping people stay sane during this crazy time. I'm doing, you know, I've had a lot of other sort of like platforms reach out, so I'm excited to do some other ones as well. Yeah, so it's a fun sort of
new way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's important that our world realizes that this is never something that can replace what we do, because live art and being in a theater and being in a classroom and that interaction is what we all feed off of. So I do look forward to us being able to return to that at some point. But I think this is a great alternative at this current moment in time.
Well, kudos to you. Like, I think that what is a beautiful thing that comes from all of this is that people don't always get to have access to Ricky Hines. You know, like, you're a busy guy.
Well, that's been really fun. Like, the classes I teach, seeing the international response to it is great. Because, yeah, to your point, you know, unless people have the means to get to New York, it can be, you know, financially difficult. So the fact that now it's literally in your living room is awesome. And I love that I can expand my network of students and friends and colleagues to people all over.
Yeah. Super cool that at this moment in time, we can grab a hold of you. So we feel lucky for that as well. While we've got you, Ricky Hines, you know, we've spoken about all of the wonderful shows that you've associated on, but I've had the privilege of working with you as a director, and you're a brilliant director.
That's very kind.
Circling back to the beginning, like Jay Madger says, Ricky Hines bloody does it all. So I was wondering, did you always know you were going to direct?
I don't know that I ever really thought anything. You know, I sort of was taking the journey in life, and the directing thing sort of fell on my lap because I was working with the incredible Jeff Calhoun. The first project we worked on was High School Musical with Lisa Stevens.
Yes!
And I was Lisa Stevens' associate.
Oh my God.
And Jeff Calhoun was working with a gentleman named Coy Middlebrook, who is now directing the TV show Encore on Disney, which was awesome. Why I got to do an episode of
Yeah,
that.
You can catch Ricky and Lisa on those. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just watched hers. It was amazing. But then Coy was beginning his transition to LA to do more TV film. And Jeff was like, hey, you know, is this a position you might be interested in? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's not anything I'm like officially trained in, but I love the idea of creating on another platform. So our first job together was High School Musical on Ice, where I served as the associate director, my first associate director job. And basically what my job was to teach ice skaters how to lip sync and have emotion while they were skating and singing Bop to the Top, and we're all in this together.
Guys, wait, just on that note, should this episode be called Ricky Hines on Ice?
Ricky Hines. It was, you don't want to see me on ice. One of the guys who played Ryan taught me a little bit of skate, because basically Jeff was like, can you go give these notes? And they're all on ice. So I would like always have my skates on. I'd walk on and I would just yell and basically point at who I was going to, because the one thing I could never do was stop. So that person would have to catch me. So I'd be like, Jen! And I would come skating towards you. And then you would just put your hands out, grab me. And I'd be like, you need to be more sad when you say that line. Okay, I'm going. I'm going. And then I would just skate away. And that was it. I was like a little ice nymph going around. So that show, like, it was great because it let Jeff and I work together in that capacity. I don't know that, like, I would say I reached my peak at that moment. But then we worked together on an incredible production of Pippin with a company out in Los Angeles called Deaf West. So half the cast is deaf and hard of hearing, and then the other half of the cast is hearing. So it was amazing. I did a three-week ASL course to learn how to communicate through ASL. Then we learned the entire script and score in ASL, which is American Sign Language. And then we rehearsed and did this beautiful production with, like, as I mentioned, half the cast was deaf and hard of hearing and half the cast is hearing. And simple things in life that you don't even think about that we take for granted, you know, some cool things getting into this world that, you know, I discovered was they built in speakers into the dance floor so that the deaf actors could feel the vibration.
Yeah.
But what they would never particularly know was where the one was. So we would do basically little hand signals, or somebody would be standing next to one of the deaf actors and literally just tap them on their shoulder, 7, 8, you know, so they knew the one was coming up on that third beat. So it was really awesome to like navigate a whole new language of theater and communication, and putting choreography to that ASL movement was incredible. It was really, really awesome.
It's a phenomenal
thing. Your brain works on a different level, which is really interesting and fascinating. And I was more tired leaving those rehearsals than I ever was, because literally every sense is on high alert, right? Like, where it can be a visual experience for us so many times in the dance world. This was about visual and touch and hearing. And, you know, I mean, every sense is just on, you know, at all times.
So that was some of your first directing opportunities. And then since that time, I feel like that is something that you just do now. Was there ever a point where it just became, okay, you're director Ricky Hines? Or was that a process?
There was a theater that I worked at. You know, I mean, the thing that's tricky in our business is, you know, finding people that will take the risk on you. Because as a director and a choreographer, you don't have the luxury to go to an audition and sort of show your work. It's what you've done, what's on your resume, all that. So there was an amazing theater in Kansas City called The New Theater. That I've worked at, gosh, I maybe have done 12 productions there, but I think it was my sixth or seventh production that they let me take the reins as a director choreographer. Previous to that, I had only done choreography credits for them. And it was sort of a safe show for everybody because it was Smokey Joe's Cafe. So there certainly is a story to be found there, but, you know, no crazy book scenes or anything like that. So I felt comfortable. They felt comfortable. We sort of took that leap together. And I was like, okay, like, this feels good. You know, this feels safe. I feel like I got this. And then the next one I did for them was Hairspray. And that was like, as you all know, a true traditional book musical. So that really allowed me to flex those director muscles. And then, you know, now all it took was getting those credits and then other theaters reaching out. And surely you can understand that on a financial level, it's great to bring in a person that's doing both of those things for them. But what I love about it is, I like that my shows are incredibly cohesive. It's not that I think I'm any great, brilliant director, choreographer. I think it's important to surround myself with a really good team of people and then get myself a cast that I know will support me as well. Because for me, like my mentor, Jeff Calhoun, taught me, it's always, you know, best idea wins. And so it's a real true collaboration in the room. It's not me going in to be a dictator and telling someone to have this emotion where their instinct is telling them to have a different emotion. And so now I've just been really fortunate to work at some really incredible regional theaters. And I love the talent that I've sort of discovered all over the world. especially working on Come From Away and getting to do my own projects internationally as well. I just feel like my web has expanded so beautifully. Yeah, and it's, you know, and I think if I could say one thing, it's I reach out to my mentors all the time. And those people had mentors themselves. Mm-hmm. And those people had mentors. So if there's anything I could say to your listening community out there is you will not succeed if you just sit in the back. You know, you will succeed if you go forward, reach out, take risks, open your own doors, because if you won't, somebody else is at that door and is going to, you know, is going to open it. Mm-hmm. And I would say 80% of the jobs that I've ever had have been me reaching out to someone and throwing my hat, you know, in the ring there. But if we don't take those chances, if we play it safe, your career will go down a very small, narrow road. And the second you sort of let your wings expand, that road is going to get wider and wider and wider and wider. Yeah. And I mean, like I was saying with company, it was just all it took was me emailing someone I had never met ever and just saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I do. And I'd love to talk about it.
Well, Ricky, we always end our episodes with advice, but you just dropped some serious advice on us right there.
And I'll say one last thing, which I was actually just saying to a group of students from the Boston Conservatory. As someone who started as a performer and transitioned, I think if there's one thing I could say to everyone is you all have to remember that when you walk into that audition room, everybody in that room wants you to get the job. No one is coming in with negative feelings behind the table or malicious. No one loves cutting people at an audition. It's just the worst part about it. So I think if I can say anything, it's just go in and know that literally everyone in that room wants you to be there, wants you to book that job, wants you to be your best self. And if you need to do something again, raise your hand, ask, do it. You know what I mean? You want to leave that room knowing I put everything out on that floor, whether dancing, singing, acting, playing the clarinet, whatever it is. And then at that point, it's just in the theater god's hands to figure out how the show is going to shake out and what they need.
Love it.
Well, boom, check, perfect. That's excellent advice that I will use next time. Thank you so much for being with us, Ricky.
My pleasure.
We love you. The pace is Ricky. 3, 2, 1. Ricky, hi.
Wow.
Everyone.
Ricky, hi.
We love Ricky, hi. What a beautiful soul.
White claws, baby.
White claws, wow. Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for having me.
Right, fun-loving, kind-hearted, and uber-talented Ricky Hines, folks. Check out @RichardJHines on Insta to keep up with this bloody superstar, and make sure you're following @BDCNYC for all of his online classes, and we'll do our best to post about them as well. You know where to find us. We're on Insta @TitsAndTeethPodcast. We're on Twitter @TeethTits, and our website is TitsAndTeethPodcast.com. If you liked our pod today and you feel so inclined, feel free to hit that subscribe button or tell your mates. And remember, whatever you're facing this week, legends, remember to keep those tits up, those teeth out, because you got this, we got you, and we buddy love you.